الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون أولئك أصحاب الجنة خالدين فيها جزاء بما كانوا يعملون ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه إحسانا حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام My dear respected elders, brothers, friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has yet again afforded us this beautiful opportunity of gathering on the day of Jumu'ah. This is indeed from amongst the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we have to try and enumerate, Allah Pak tells us, La tuhsuha, you will fail. Impossible that you can enumerate. But the least we can do is we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful opportunity of allowing us to gather in His house. These two ayats of the Quran which I've just recited, the broad theme that is covered in these ayats, firstly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about istiqamat, about steadfastness, where a person remains firm, he remains committed to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part of the second ayat of the Quran, Allah Pak is speaking about, Allah takes the person through the life cycle of an average person. Allah is taking him through the whole life cycle, an overview of his life and things that he needs to contemplate. And then towards the ending of the ayat, the succession plan that a person should have after this life of his is complete. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enjoining upon us, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا, that Allah Pak is enjoining upon mankind that he be kind towards his parents. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهَا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا. Allah Pak is reminding the person that your mother carried you, that period you were in her stomach, the gestation period, kurha was with great difficulty. وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهَا, and she gave birth to you with great difficulty. It was no easy period. And the reason Allah Pak is reminding us is because insan's nature is to forget. So Allah Pak is reminding you that do not forget your parents. This ayats upon ayats and hadith upon hadith enumerates the responsibility one has towards his parents. Allah mentions in many ayat of the Quran, just to mention two, Allah ta'budu illa Allah wa bilwalidain ihsana, that do not worship anybody but Allah, and immediately after that, be kind to your parents. Anishkur li wali walidayk, be grateful to me and be grateful to your parents. So this ayat of the Quran also Allah Pak is enjoining that this person shouldn't forget. Shouldn't forget, and specifically the mother, that the mother carried us with great difficulty. We do not remember that period, we were not here. Before that period also Allah Pak mentions, هَلْ أَتَىٰ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا, did a period, a time not pass upon this insan where he was something that was not even remembered. Nobody even knew our name. Nobody even knew our features, our existence. Nothing. So this Allah Pak is saying that remember that time that your mother carried you. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا, that period of gestation and that period of weaning off was a period of 30 months. Why 30 months? Allah Pak is using the periods of absolute certainty. That the minimum period a person can, it's possible for a person to live generally in the stomach, is the shortest period is 6 months. Shorter than that, very unlikely a person will live. And the maximum period of weaning is 2 years. So 6 months plus 24 months is equal to 30 months. Allah says, ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. This period of gestation and weaning is 30 months. وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شُهْرًا. ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. Allah is moving to the next phase of a person's life. Now he is growing up and he reaches the phase where he has strength in his body. Where now he is physically strong, he reaches that phase of maturity when he is able to fend for himself, when he is able to appreciate and understand, when he reaches physical, mental maturity. So Allah Pak says he reaches this phase. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً. Thereafter Allah Pak speaks about another phase in his life when he reaches the age of 40, specifically 40. Why ulama explain why specifically the age of 40? Because when he reaches firstly the stage of strength, which is approximately between 18 and 25 years old, thereafter a person goes, if you look at it in the form of a graph, it's an upward curve. He's physically developing, mentally developing. But when he reaches approximately 25 years old, it's a straight line graph. Right till he reaches the age of 40. At the age of 40 now, if he tries to deceive, he tries to bluff people, it's a downward curve, slowly downward curve as he gets older and older. He may be able to put dye on his hair, but that clock of the human body continues on a downward spiral, irrespective of how he tries to impress people. So Allah Pak is using the age of 40. Why the age of 40? Because the age of 40, a person by this age should have witnessed many, many nikahs. He may have witnessed many janazas. He may have lost close and dear family members and friends. He would have seen the cycle of life before his eyes. He was able to appreciate those things that can deceive a person, those things that can impress a person. He has that kind of mental maturity at this age. And ulama explain another reason why Allah Pak has mentioned the age of 40 is because at the age of 40, if a person has certain habits in him, it is unlikely that those habits will change now for the rest of his life. So if he's had bad habits at the age till the age of 40, and now he continues like that, it is very difficult for him after this to give up those habits. So this is the second reason why Allah Pak has chosen the age of 40. And the third reason is it's possible for a person now at the age of 40 also to be a grandfather. If a person, for example, got married at the age of 20, 21, he has a daughter who gets married at the age of 19 or 18, then by the age of 40, 41 already he's a grandfather. So now he is experiencing another phase of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to this. And Allah Pak doesn't want us to forget the first few phases that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another ayat of the Quran mentioned, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'f. Allah Pak has created you in extreme weakness. You couldn't fend for yourself, you couldn't eat by yourself, you couldn't even sleep by yourself, you couldn't change yourself also. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضُعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ. When you were in that period of weakness, your parents were in the period of strength. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضُعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ. After that period of weakness, you reached a period of strength. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضُعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. When you were in the period of strength, your parents were in the period of weakness. Allah Pak doesn't want you to forget that. Then Allah Pak says, remember that a time will come when that cycle will turn, that cycle will move, you will eventually reach that period of du'f and quwwah, extreme du'fa wa shayba, extreme weakness and extreme old age. So you will also reach that age. Anyway, Allah Pak is taking us through the cycle of life to try and reflect. Then don't forget, when a person looks back and he looks at everything, then he's able to see things in perspective. The next part of the ayat Allah Pak mentions, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلِيَّ. Now after seeing everything, after seeing the cycle of life, he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, that enable me to be grateful to you. I've seen, I've experienced, I understand what is happening. Enable me to make shukr to you. أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ. Those ni'mats that you have favored me in terms of my body, my health, my strength, everything you have given me, my iman, you've given me Quran, you taught me deen. Oh Allah, those favors you've given me and you've given my parents. Why Allah Pak is mentioning parents? Again, to remind the person that don't forget your parents. Then thereafter Allah Pak mentions, أَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. Oh Allah, give me tawfiq of doing good deeds. Give me the tawfiq of doing deeds that will please you. Now Allah Pak is moving over from the person's life to a person's focus on a succession plan for the akhirat. And what is meant by doing good deeds? those deeds that will continue with a person even after he passes away. Now, continuing with the succession plan, Allah Pak mentions, an a'mala salihan tardahu Allah, those deeds that please you. There are many things a person can do, even thinking it to be good, but it may not be good. Therefore, specifically this word is used, tardahu Allah, those deeds that please you. Not any kind of good deed, but those deeds that please you. Tardahu, an a'mala salihan tardahu, O Allah, give me the tawfiq of doing specifically those things that please you. And وَأَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Give me such children, O Allah, that will have goodness in their life, will be correct, and correct those children for me. Meaning that this is the succession plan I've got. After I leave the world, those children that make dua for me, those children that look after my interest, that take care of my interest after I'm gone, by sending Isa alayhi sawab for me, this is the succession plan that I have. Nothing else. Inni tubtu ilayk, O Allah, I am turning towards you, wa inni minal muslimin, and I am from amongst those that have submitted totally. This is the theme that will be spoken about in many Jummas, especially coming closer towards the period of Qurbani, that the submission that of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam and the submission that is expected of a person. Therefore, I will not be speaking on this topic. But just to further this, what is meant by an a'mala salihan tardah, those deeds that please Allah? The first part, the first ayah that I read that comes before this, I mentioned that Allah Pak is speaking about steadfastness. And then this steadfastness is something that is so beloved for Allah, that Allah Pak mentions in one ayat of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Those people that say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Rabb, meaning they are Muslims, and then thereafter they stay firm upon it. What reward Allah gives? تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. At the time of death, which is the most difficult and critical period in a person's whole life cycle, is this period of death. What happens? Allah Pak sends malaika down. تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The first thing the malaika tell this person, لَا تَخَافُ, that do not fear, do not have any grief. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, and do not be grieved about the past. لَا تَخَافُ, do not worry about what's going to happen to you in the future. And do not be grieved about the past, about the children, about the family that you're leaving behind, about the friends. Don't worry about them. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. Take the glad tidings of Jannat which Allah has promised you. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These malaika come to receive the person. Like how a person is traveling overseas, for example, he's going to a foreign country, he doesn't know anybody in that country. When he lands at the airport, he sees somebody holding a placard with his name on it. He feels so happy, there's somebody to receive me, I don't know anybody. Then these people tell him that don't be concerned from here on, as far as your transport is concerned, your accommodation is concerned, the meetings that you've got, everything, we've arranged it and we will take care of it. From here, everything rests upon us. How nice he feels. He feels now that everything is sorted out for him. So malaika come to tell this person that this is not a journey from here to the Dubai or from here to the States. This is a journey from here to Akhirat. They come to receive him at that occasion and tell him that don't fear, don't grieve. That Jannat is awaiting for you. That is that hotel that we've booked for you, that Allah Pak has promised you. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We were your friends in the dunya. You never saw us, but when you frequented the masjid, we were your companions in the masjid. When you read Quran Sharif, we were your companions. When you did good a'mal, we were your companions. You never saw us. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Now in the akhirat also we are your companions. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. And for you is whatever you desire. There's no holding back at this point. In dunya you were limited by means. You were restricted as far as resources are concerned. In akhirat there's no holding back. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever you desire. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And for you is whatever you ask for. Whatever is in the heart, the first part, and the second is whatever is on your lips, you call for, you ask for everything. نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. The next part Allah Pak says, that this, remember, is not a reception. This is no reception of the government or of the royal kings that are receiving you. You're not just a royal guest of some king of the world. This is a reception, مِّن غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ, from the person who is the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his royal banquet. Can we have anything more pleasing to a person? But this is what is the reward of istiqamat. And istiqamat is such a thing, respected friends, it carries a person through the greatest of events. May Allah Pa give us this. The complaint of many, many people is that there is a low. They get to a point where there is a natural low. They feel depressed, especially after the month of Ramadan. Then comes the months and the ayam of Hajj. Again they feel livened, and then after they feel depressed. And one of the main causes of this, respected friends, is a person not looking after four things. If a person looks after these four things, there's a great chance that he will be able to maintain that level of istiqamat, that level of steadfastness. The first thing ulama tell us is look after the eyes. If the eyes is misused, example is given of a Jojo tank, of a 10,000 liter tank, where you get water coming in from the northern side, from the southern side, eastern side, western side of that roof, where you got the down pipes all leading into this tank. And this tank has four taps or five taps. And these taps are left open. When these taps are left open, whatever is contained in that tank is being lost. So whatever a person is gains in the month of Ramadan, as far as tilawat of Quran is concerned, as far as salat is concerned, as far as his charities are concerned, as far as his fasting is concerned, all these are filling up the tank. But when he's not taking care of the first tap, the tap of the eyes, immediately that level of ruhaniyat is dropping. The second thing that a person should take care of is he should take care of his tongue. This is something which is extremely, extremely important. That a person can lose a lot of his ruhaniyat that he has gathered and gained by doing good amal, by not taking care of his tongue. There is a waqiyah that is attributed to a great tabi by the name of Muhammad bin Sirin, rahmatullah alayh. He was a very pious person, a muhaddis, very famous person. And on one occasion, he did a business deal. He purchased goods, and then immediately after that, he sold the goods. He purchased the goods on credit, and he sold the goods without paying the supplier. Now, when he sold the goods, he's got the money for it, but he realized that that deal that I did wasn't exactly 100% halal, wasn't exactly, so to speak, the best of deals. There was some kind of karahat, dislike in the deal. Now we know when there's a deal like that, a person ideally should give the profits away in charity. But because of the level of taqwa, what he did was he gave the capital and the profits away. So he didn't have any money to pay the supplier. Now in an Islamic government, what can be done is habs. A person can be detained when he's insolvent, he's unable to pay his creditors, then he can be detained. So he was detained, and he tells one of his students, he said, let me tell you something. I will explain to you why this has happened to me. 40 years ago, I addressed one person. I misused my tongue. I told one person, Ya Muflis, oh you bankrupt person. I addressed him in an inappropriate manner. Today I am facing the ill effects of the misuse of my tongue. Therefore I am landed up in jail today. These are the pious people. Allah Pak sometimes takes their hisab. Allah Pak sometimes gives them the punishment of their misuse in this world so that they get saved in the akhirat. But this is the misuse of the tongue. The next thing that a person misuses that can have a major effect is the misuse of the ears. Sometimes we're sitting in a gathering, immediately the day after Ramadan, it might be the day of Eid, or the day of Eid that is coming, a person is sitting and he doesn't know what to talk, engaged in the ghibat, automatically the ruhaniyat of these Mubarak days are lost instantly by just engaging in ghibat, by listening to music, by listening to those things that are inappropriate. Hazrat Mullah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, if anybody wants a special ta'alluq with Allah, special ta'alluq with Allah, do two things and stay away from two things. The two things that he should do is remain in the constant obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep oneself in zikr. And the two things that he shouldn't do is stay away from haram and stay away from la ya'ani. La ya'ani means those things that don't concern him. If we are sitting and people are talking, people are speaking, we are listening, but there are things that don't concern us. They won't benefit our dunya, they won't benefit our akhirat. Stay away from it completely because there will be absolutely no benefit. So this is what Maulana is saying, that stay away from those things that doesn't concern a person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, min husni al-islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the beauty of a person's Islam is that he leaves out those things that don't concern him. Respected friends, ask ourselves, if there's a cricket match, if there's a soccer match, if there's a rugby match, how does that benefit our dunya? How does that benefit our akhirat? We are killing valuable 90 minutes of our life for that useless soccer match, cricket match. So these sort of things, respected friends, a person wants to add beauty, like how he decorates his house, like how he puts tiles and he makes his bathroom looks nice, he puts curtains and makes his lounge looks nice. If we want to decorate our Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stay away from those things that do not concern you. And the next thing that a person has to take care of is he has to take care of his mind and his heart. Very often just by pondering, by thinking evil of a person doesn't realize, or by fantasizing of some haram illicit, a person is losing all that ruhaniyat that he gathered. So if a person takes care of these things, inshallah, there is a great hope. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi says that if a person is careful, he's careful of the use of his tongue, the careful of the use of his eyes, he's careful of the use of his ears, and he's careful of what he thinks, then if he doesn't find ruhaniyat in his heart, then he can blame me for that. So these are the things that will preserve, respected friends, will preserve and give us, preserve that ruhaniyat a person has, and give us the tawfiq of continuing. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great, great, great personality, at the time of his death, it wasn't a journey, it wasn't a matter of a change from the month of Ramadan to out of the month of Ramadan, the ayyam, the days of Hajj to out of the days of Hajj. It wasn't like that. It was a journey, it was a change from dunya to akhirat. We know he got stabbed in the last few days of his life. He was under extreme pain and extreme difficulty. It was the Salah of Fajr that he came to perform. Allahu Akbar, as the Imam, the masjid was dark. It wasn't well lit up like how we have lighting today. And a person who was not a Muslim, was the slave of Mughira, happened to stab him with a double-edged knife and stabbed him a few times. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu fell. The point I want to make, respected friends, is when a person has istiqamat, when he is firm, then nothing will shake that person. Ramadan, out of Ramadan, whether he is in the strongest phase of his life or whether he is stabbed and is passing away. So he falls down to the ground and then he tells Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu that go and see who has killed me. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu goes, but before he goes, immediately Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes and performs the salat, because there's an emergency here. One is Umar radiallahu anhu has fallen to the ground. Those sahaba that were standing on the edges of the masjid, they didn't know what had happened. So they started screaming out, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, thinking that the Imam has forgotten to start the Qirat. To encourage the Imam that this is a loud salat, you need to start the Qirat, they were saying Subhanallah. And as this person went, he stabbed approximately 13 people, it comes in the riwayat, and out of them, 7 were fatal. Eventually, Sahaba went, and they threw a shawl over him, and they captured him, they captured him by wrapping a shawl around him, and he killed himself with that knife. But the point, respected friends, is once the news came back to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that this is the person that killed you, the words that came out of his mouth was something for us to remember. He said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi lam yaj'al mitati biyadi rajulin yadda'i al-Islam. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has not caused my death by a person who claims to be a Muslim. He's about to pass away, but this is what istiqamat. His whole life was to enjoin good, forbid evil. Even at that moment when his life is coming out, he is happy that it wasn't a Muslim that did this. For two reasons, ulama explained, because this would have signified that he was infighting in the ummah if it was a Muslim that killed him, number one. Number two is what impression this would have left on Islam. He was concerned about the deen. This was the istiqamah that he had. And then day after people came, they say that because of his wound, if he had to drink water where dates were squeezed in to give strength, that water would come out of his stomach from his wound. And if he were to drink milk, that milk also would come out of the wound. Then Sahaba said, now we knew that he's going to pass away. So after he got stabbed, he was taken to the home for treatment. And then people were coming to the house to praise Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A youngster comes there to praise him. And he tells him, Abshir ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, bi bushra Allah, laka min suhbati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa qidamin fil Islam. That glad tidings be to you, O Umar radiallahu anhu. With the glad tidings of Allah, you were the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What greater glad tidings can that be? And that you were from amongst the early people who fought and who strove for Islam. And then, ثُمَّ وُلِّيْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ. You were made the Amirul Mu'mineen and you were just. ثُمَّ شَهَادَةٌ. Now you've begun the status of shaheed. You become a shaheed. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies. وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ ذَٰلِكَ كَفَافٌ. That I desire that whatever good that may be to my account, I desire that I just break even on the day of Qiyamah. I just break even. لا لي ولا علي, that I don't have anything to my credit, I don't have anything to my debit. If I just break even, I'll be happy. So respected friends, this is the point that when a person, he strives that even in that condition, now this person goes away. This person goes away, but his pants happen to be below his ankle. Umar radiallahu anhu says, call that person back. Call that young man back. And he tells him, irfa' thobak, lift up your cloth, lift up your pants. فَإِنَّهُ أَبْقَى لِثُوبِكَ وَأَتْقَى لِرَبِّكَ. Because this is will be more longer lasting. It will enable your pants to last longer. And it is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you do this. About to pass away, but a person that is on istiqamat, he will remain on istiqamat even at the time of maut. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, respected friends, that reality of istiqamat. I feel it appropriate to mention the waqia of Mufti Farooq Saab Mirati rahmatullah alayh, who passed away last year in the stampede that took place in Mina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with complete noor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon him. Was a very, very great alim. Was a student of Mawlana Masihullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh and the Khalifa of Mufti Mahmood Sahib rahmatullah alayh. We were very fortunate to spend some time with him for a few days before he had passed away. He was an embodiment of piety, of composure. He reflected all the personalities and the greatness that one would read of the great personalities like Mawlana Masihullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh. Now when he went, we know that he was going on the 10th of Zilhijjah to stone what we know as the Jamarat. And the crowd was very, very thick, dense, difficult. It was extremely hot. Extremely hot. There was an alim from UK there with him. Respected friends, the point I'm trying to mention of this waqia is a person who maintains kama tahyawna tamutun wa kama tamutuna tuhsharun. How you live your life with that level of istiqamat, Allah will give you that tawfiq of passing away like that. And that person that passes away like that, Allah will raise him on a day of Qiyamah like that. So he was that embodiment going now in the thickness of the crowd. And alim from UK was with him. He explains and he narrates the story. He says that the crowd was thick and was difficult and we were not getting anywhere. So we decided that we'll move out to the side. And just as we were moving, trying to move out to the side, a very big thrust came from the back. A very forceful movement came of people. A huge crowd came from the back. And before we knew it, Hazrat Mufti Sahib fell down. And I fell on top of him with my back, meaning my back upon him. But before I could do anything, there were already three or four people on top of me. And people were screaming wildly. Everyone was shouting out, screaming out, like the day of Qiyamah when people scream and shout, furious. He said, but in that condition, I heard Hazrat Mufti Sahib reading the Kalima in a calm and composed manner. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reading the Kalima and reading the Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. He says he continued reading these two things, the Labbaik and Kalima. Everyone around was screaming, but he was composed till such a time when I heard his voice dropping, dropping and dropping until I could hear him no more. And then after that, he says probably he passed away, but I was taken to hospital and he, that other alim from UK, recovered after a few days in hospital. And he says, I remember these last few words. So this is the reality of istiqamat. A person has istiqamat. At the time of maut, Allah Pak will give him the tawfiq of carrying that istiqamat through. And inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, he will rise. Those people that passed away in the stampede, on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, they will rise up in the condition of ihram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of maintaining this istiqamat and continuing with these, no matter whether it is the last 10 days of December or the last 10 days of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.